Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman producing the Outdoor Show. This morning is Jace. Our sponsors today, the Belleville Meat Market and Boyd's One Stop. All right, weather. 75 down on the island this morning. That old front's trying to get off the coast. What kind of front it is. There's not much to it, but a lot of rain out in the Gulf. But anyway, today they're calling for thunderstorms, some heavy during the morning hours. I don't know whether it's going to back up or what. But then skies will turn partly cloudy for the afternoon with a high near 85. And winds will finally go north-northwest 5 to 10. That rain chance are about a 70%. Tonight mostly clear, low around 75. Winds north-northwest 5 to 10. And then for tomorrow, sunshine, high near 85. North-northeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. And looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have four of them. We're sitting on a low right now. We have a high coming up at 5:07 a.m. It's a 1.5, and a low at 12:51 p.m. at 0.4, and then a high at 9:10 p.m. a 1.7. 7:09 a.m. at sunrise, 7:12 p.m. sunset, and our moon phase is 7%. We're coming off that new moon and looking at current conditions. Galveston, it's east southeast 7 to 9. It's 77 degrees down there with 87 degree water. Eagle Point, it is 78 degrees, 84 degree water. South wind at 7 to 8. And up at Morgan's Point, it's 78 degrees with 85 degree water. A north wind at 6 to 7. So up in the far end of the complex, you have a north wind at 6, and then down by Eagle Point, south at 7. So that's kind of where we're at. Anyway, all right, well, let's head over east of town now, and let's check in with Captain Bill Watkins this morning and get things rolling here. Morning, Bill. How's it going?
Oh, I'm doing all right there, buddy.
Well, that's good to hear.
So I actually went fishing yesterday.
Good.
And survived it. Sometimes I feel like my back's going to break, but hey, I got out there and got it done.
Well, good for
and,
you.
We caught some nice trout.
Did you? Cool.
Still hadn't been able to catch anything in the lake, but I think that if I go far north, I'll probably find them.
Yeah.
I think they're already up there. Now, I've got a friend that lives over at Johnson Bayou, and he's telling me that the shrimp are still way back up in the marsh.
Right.
They haven't moved at all. So, the end of a long, hot summer, but maybe this little front, whatever it may be, will trigger something.
And maybe it'll leak a few, but we need that first good cold front, and then we'll get a good dump out of the marsh.
I don't think
there's going to be much to this one.
No, it looks like it's
there, last week
out.
They were calling it weak. That's probably about the only thing they got right. Did you get any rain yesterday?
Yeah. A little. I think I got probably a half inch.
Yeah.
It didn't rain near like it said it would, but
no, that's what I kept waiting on. I had that last little bit of that, those last storms in that front line, I got just enough to wet the decks down, man. I was really wanting a good hard downpour. It didn't happen, buddy. Didn't happen.
Umbrella Point's living up to its name.
It really is.
But, you know, we probably got the harder rain yesterday. I mean, day before yesterday. That's when the best rains came. I think Mid-County got over about 4 inches.
Goodness.
Yeah, it rained like crazy. And it didn't rain here at the house near as much. I probably got, you know, half inch both days. And that was it.
I'd give anything for a half inch.
Anyway. You know, that's odd how you live in a place that the storms just split around you.
It doesn't matter where they come from, the west or the north, the south, the east. It's just weird what that body of water and that landmass does to them. It just makes a split, and or it deteriorates, either one. But I don't know. I've been living out there all my life, and I've been seeing it forever. It's just now in the wintertime, it's a whole different ball game. You know, you'll get the rain when everybody else does. But it you know, summertime pattern. It's weird how that works.
That's strange indeed.
Yeah, it is. And it's,
some places are like that.
Yeah, Lake Livingston, my dad used to experience that, you know, on that side, you know, on Alaska side. The other side of the lake over towards Goodrich and all that, it just gets smoked, and then it would just rag apart before it got to their side.
Yeah, that's a strange thing.
Yeah, it is.
But anyway, back to the story about the fishing. There are still some nice trout. I mean, we caught, I think we put together 12 yesterday, and they were really nice trout. Caught them on Little John, and one of the guys was throwing 4-inch Zoom flukes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of a silver color,
right?
They'll always bite that stuff too, you know. It's you can't beat a Zoom fluke. And then the other guy was throwing K Wiggler ball tails 4-inch.
Mm-hmm.
So we experienced about the same number of bites, you know, but we wound up boxing real 12 really nice trout. So, hey, I'm happy with that. And we hooked a red early.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just took off and broke the line. That guy said, "Whoa, man, what am I hooked into? Pow!" He had his drag too tight.
Sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just
zing pow
popped like a piston. Yeah, it broke in the reel. He just had to put that one down. He said, "I can't see good enough this early."
He couldn't. His line broke off down the spool. Boy, I hate it when that happens. You can't find a.
Oh, end. Yeah. I know he had his drag too tight because that rod had a flat spot in it. I mean, yeah. You know how they've bent over so
right.
far.
It's flat now.
Flat. Yeah. I said, man, he ain't going to be able to. Oh, man, yeah, but that's, and, you know, the whites and silver, glow with a yellow tail, all that's still working.
Yeah, those light colored baits been working all year for you over there.
Yeah, and the funniest thing, the water is green right now. I mean, way up the channel and
uh-huh.
all the way down to Sabine Pass. It's It's really pretty.
Yeah, water clarity is not an issue anywhere right now.
No. But my next scouting trip, I'm going to go all the way up to the north end of the lake and check out, see what's going on up there.
Yeah, it's time.
I mean, I've been getting reports, but I finally got a report yesterday. It said somebody that they knew, which is totally unreliable. You can't go on secondhand information.
Not these days.
No. No, there's too much fake news out there.
Too much chatter, man.
Yeah, and I don't listen to too much of that, but...
No, I want it straight from the horse's mouth.
Yeah, they said that somebody caught some fish up around Stutes Island.
Yeah.
Which would... That would figure because...
Well, it's
pretty good salt water up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that...
Well, but, I'm wanting some water temperature drops and get it cooler and so we can start throwing hard baits and, you know, fun stuff, hardware, you know, catch
Well,
some
it
bumps.
Was 83 yesterday.
Yeah.
And that's a significant drop.
Well, it's a lot cooler than it was. Well, it was all summer. It was just, I got sick of looking at 88 and 89,
yeah.
90.
88 and 89, that's right.
Yeah, all summer long. Which is normal.
Yeah.
But, you know, once we start dropping a little bit at a time like we're doing now, that's, you know, falls are getting in the air, and the fish know it too by the tides and, you know,
yeah.
Fall equinox.
Was yesterday the first day of fall?
Yes, it was. It didn't feel like it, but it was.
No, it sure did. But we had one little cool front over here back around the 1st of September.
Yeah.
That was really...
Teaser front.
It chilled air down. Oh, yeah. And, boy, that felt good. I actually had to put on a long-sleeve shirt over my fishing shirt. And that was comfortable then. But I think it was 69 degrees down there.
Yeah.
And it went away real quick. It got back up to about 90 at the middle of the day. So that was over with real quick. But it was nice for that morning.
Yeah, I like that. Get into that, what the old-timers called the Indian summer pattern, you know, cool in the mornings, warm in the afternoons.
Yeah.
Birds working everywhere.
Yeah.
Fish napping.
Yeah. Well, it ain't happening here yet.
Well, teal season comes to an end this weekend, but bow season opens Saturday morning. Archery season.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And squirrel season opens
the first, yeah. So we're slowly sliding into hunting season.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are ready.
Yeah, by the conditions, by the number of fishermen on the lake yesterday, I would say that if everybody's in that boat.
Oh, did you see quite a few people?
We saw two boats.
Two boats? Well, yeah. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, they're getting in the hunting mode.
Oh, yeah, they're getting in it. So... And I imagine squirrel season, I'll open it up on my back porch. I've probably got six squirrels at least on my feeder to the north of the house. And I'll be putting that little 22 on them. And I think I'll just go ahead and start up season by cooking me up a pot of squirrel.
There you go.
Oh, man. Nothing better than that.
Boy, I tell you, them hummingbirds are thick right now. They're staging up.
Oh. Do you have many on your porch?
You got to fill your feeders every day.
Yeah.
Drink them dry.
We've got at least 15 or 18 swarming those feeders.
Yeah.
They're the cutest little things. I just love them.
They are mean, though, aren't they? Boy, they love to fight.
Yeah, they are. They do.
They are some it's radical little dominant. Birds.
Yeah, they are radical. My daughter used to have red hair. April, she had poofy red hair. I mean, just,
yeah.
It was real curly, and they'd buzz her head.
Yeah.
It's like a wildflower. They'd get in her hair almost, you know. It'd scare her. She'd have to get up and go in the house.
Well, let me knock this break out right quick. I'll come right back at you, Bill. Hang with me, my friend.
All right.
Well, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop for all your grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken. Hunting season's right around the corner. Bow season will kick off this weekend. No better place to have your wild game process than the Belleville Meat Market. Their service, you know, their drop-off system, their packaging, everything's excellent, not to mention the quality of their sausage and the way they handle your meat for you. They track it all the way through the process. That assures you get back the meat that you took good care of. And while you're there, check out their meat market with a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue served Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And bulk pricing is available on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage. And this year, try out their new sausage recipe while you're getting processing done. Check out their deer tamales, their venison hot dogs. It's a big hit. Your family will love that you did. The Belleville Meat Market's been celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, for meat is our middle name.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, 419 here in the Bayou City. All right, Bill, we are back, bud.
All right, I'm here with you, buddy.
There's a lot of rain down south of us, you know, all around Bay City right now, all the way down the coast of Port Aransas and Kingsville, and where that front's kind of hung up down there trying to sweep out into the Gulf. But
they probably need it.
They could use about 50 of these real quick. Man, they're in trouble in that Corpus area, water-wise. Lots of problems.
Yeah. My cousin lives in Bay City. He said it's been pretty dry down there.
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting near the rain that we've got.
Does it rain every day in Beaumont? I can sit on my back porch and look back to the northeast, straight up I-10, and there's always cloud banks over there. It looks like it's raining every day over there.
Well, it has rained a little bit at my house almost every afternoon.
Yeah.
And it's keeping my grass growing. I mean, it's dry out there, and my pond is way down, but let me tell you, it's rained just enough to keep that grass growing like crazy. Even though there's some brown patches in it, it's still growing.
Yeah.
I'll probably have to mow one more time. And I figure maybe even two.
Probably more than that, right where we're going. Unless we get these
temperatures
down.
I was mowing every 4 days.
Yeah.
The whole yard. I mean, just nuts. Wearing out my lawnmower.
I've been on about every 2 or 3 week pattern this year. Which is fine with me. Other things to do.
Yeah.
There's always something else to do.
Always. I don't like getting on that skag. That thing, it's got a good seat on it, but it still bounces you around.
Yeah, you just got to slow down. If I get in a hurry, I'll get thrown off.
Yeah,
you know,
that could happen. But
well,
you
know, I've seen some good dove hunts. I mean, Blaine sent me some pictures of just tables and tables of doves. He's had a lot of people down
there.
Oh,
wow.
They're pouring the coals to him.
He's got good dove hunting?
Right now he does. They were, before season opened, he had millions of them, and they just disappeared. And then when the main season came back, well, then they came back with it. And it's just here today and gone tomorrow. Get them while you can. Get them while they're hot.
That's the way doves are. But everybody's telling me that they're seeing a lot of quail.
Yes, quail crop is going to be excellent again this year. I don't know how much better you can get it than last year. But they claim it's even looks even better. So,
yeah,
but they got rains at the right time.
Well, that helps them.
You know, and the horns were good last year on the deer, and looks like they're going to be good again this year on the deer. A lot of beautiful bucks last year.
Well, I tell you, hunting that country is special.
It is.
It really is.
You just never know what's going to walk out down there.
No. That's wild country down there now.
That's the last frontier, buddy.
If you can't get on a Sendera, you can't walk into the brush.
Well, you can, but you better be real, real careful.
Yeah, everything sticks, stings, or bites.
It does.
My son went down there on a hunt. He did real good. And my buddy went down there, same area, somewhere around Freer, and they killed a bunch of doves.
Yeah.
Everybody seemed to get into what they needed to get into. But I couldn't make the trip this year. I'm just a little bit too crippled up right now. All I can do is get in the boat and go fishing.
Yeah. Well, I hope you get a good recovery going here with your treatment and whatever you're going through.
Well, I'm going to see the doctor this morning, first time after that procedure. That I don't think it helped with about 15%, but hey, 15% is better than nothing.
Well, better than what it was. I mean,
yeah, it seems
Grimm, you know, my old bass fishing buddy at Fayette County, he's going through the same thing. He's doing treatments right now. Hey, man, it's just part of the game. You get all these miles on you.
Yeah. That's
what's the old saying? I know if I'd have known I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth? Oh, man.
So imagine what an NFL football player, his life is like once he gets into our stages of age. From what they went through, what they've done to their bodies over the years. I mean, seriously?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, they get smacked pretty hard a lot of times. And, of course, in my case, getting hit by that train, that was no fun.
Well, didn't your mama teach you not to play on a train track?
Yeah, I pulled up the train track and looked both ways. The light was flashing. I looked both ways and pulled out there and stuck it in first gear and pulled my old car up on the track. Lights out. And I actually think that locomotive light wasn't on because I could see it was unobstructed view both ways.
Right.
And
it was at nighttime?
Yes. Christmas Eve night. And no, I had not been drinking. I didn't drink back then at all.
How long ago did that happen?
I was 19 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
It took me a long time to get over that, and my shoulder, my right shoulder right now, the injury I've received in that train wreck is the reason I've had so much shoulder trouble. You know.
Yeah.
But, you know, you somehow or another it managed to keep me out of Vietnam.
Well, somebody had a plan for you.
I was I was fixed to go join my cousin the next day on the buddy system.
Really?
And yeah, and he went ahead and joined without me. And I stayed back. It took me 6 months to get over that.
Man.
But, hey, I lived.
You know, I remember up in
Mile Rocks. I shouldn't have.
Those trains every day. 60 miles an hour. And I remember every summer I'd be up there with my grandparents and somebody would always get killed right there in town.
They'd
try to beat that
terrible
train, and it was terrible.
Yeah. Don't play chicken with a train.
Especially
they
when
win
it's
every time.
50 or 60 miles an hour.
Yeah. Now, this one was going 35.
That's
it was
still
the Sunset
too fast.
Limited, and they were getting rocking and rolling right out of town, heading west.
My gosh.
Yeah. Yep. Pretty well wiped out my old 54 Plymouth.
54 Plymouth.
Yeah, it was never the same after that.
Just think if you'd have been in one of these new vehicles that are just basically
have been
10
killed.
Cans.
Aluminum cans. Yeah, it would have been lights out. But you know,
it's like a bad boat
every day.
I mean, there's no man there. Boating accidents are the absolute worst. Well, that and motorcycles.
Yeah, I rode those for a while too.
Hard donut.
Back during the oil embargo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that every day's a gift after that. I should have not been here. So
well, you're still here. Still
every day's a gift.
Kicking like a chicken. Attaboy.
Kicking like a chicken.
All right, Bill. Well, hey man, glad you got out and caught some nice fish yesterday. If somebody wants to come over and fish with you, give them a number how they can reach you, my friend.
Yes, sir. 409-673-9211 or Fish Sabine Lake on the web.
All right, buddy. Bill, have a good day. I'll talk to you down the road. See you, man.
Hey. All right. Thank you, buddy.
Later. All right. All right. It's time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 4:34. All right, let's run up to Lake Conroe now and check in with the fish dude this morning. Richard, good morning. What's up?
Not a lot, Mickey. How you doing this morning?
Man, I'm here. It's all good.
Good deal. Good deal. Ain't nothing wrong with that. At least we got a little cold front in to cool things down
cold,
a little bit. Anyway,
cold front. Huh? I wish it was.
That's all right. That's all right. It's all good. There ain't no doubt. At least we got some wind. That's the main thing. Good night. I'll tell you what, the dang wind finally started blowing. Them fish started acting right. So I ain't complaining at all. So It's just one of them deals. But, man, I'll tell you what, there's been some fish popping up dead on the lake. Everybody's kind of panicking. What's going on? What's going on with it? You know, I mentioned a couple weeks ago how I thought the lake was turning over, and that's part of it. When it turns over like that, you'll lose some fish. So
lack of oxygen?
Right. Well, what it does is the bottom, that algae on the bottom of the lake releases when you get a temperature inversion, and it starts to kind of change, and it'll release from the bottom, and as it does that, it cuts the oxygen out of the water. So you'll lose a few fish in the process. So it's one of those things where, you know, I've been watching people talking about it on Facebook and stuff like that, that's what it is. It's just that lake turning over, and it just takes the oxygen out for about a week or so, and then, you know, it just goes in layers. It kind of comes up from the bottom and kind of stratifies as it comes up. So once it clears up, everything's fine. It just takes a little while to get through it and all. But like I say, at least that dang wind started blowing. That was one of the big things. The other day we kept 88 catfishing, and out of all those 88, we almost got limited out on our 20-inch fish anyway. So
yeah.
So that was something even better, you know, because it's, you know, they changed the limits on Conroe. It was 10 when they first changed the size limit. Now they cut it back down to 5 per person on those 20-inch. Five over 20, and then 1 over 30. That's your maximum number. But everything else is 25 total. You know, whether it's a blue cat, channel cat, yellow cat, it doesn't matter. Keep 25 total. But whenever you start measuring them out, you know, 5 over 20 per person and 1 over 30, which the 30s always throw back anyway. So it's one of those things. Those are picture fish. So it's all good. You know, like I say, start getting to where you have to worry about your 20-inchers, then that's a pretty good deal, because we had quite a few of them. I mean, it was everything is, you know, 5-6 pounds. So it was a pretty good haul of fish the other day. So I'm not complaining at all. Then went out and caught me some for dinner day before yesterday, and it didn't take long. And 30 minutes, and I'm pretty much done. So had me 25 of them, and got back to the house and kind of got to working on the boat some more and stuff like that. And then you know, yesterday I went bass fishing a little bit, and man, them rascals they're being tough. But I'm doing some different stuff, kind of trying to figure out some different things, you know, how deep the water are, you know, the majority of the fish are in. And I'm throwing them dang old glide baits too, because I still want to catch one on one of the big old glide baits. And I've been looking at some different little hacks you can do to make them do better things or swim better anyway. And it works. Like, I've got one of those big 6-cent glide baits, and where the hinge is, you can take you a die grinder. I just took a regular grinder and ground off the front half a little bit. It makes it curve and bend further in the water. So it, like when you get around a dock, you can reel it. You kind of, with those glide baits like that, you throw them out there and you let them kind of settle in, and then you reel and you jerk on them a little bit, and they'll just dart side to side. And those fish are supposed to eat them, but I've been chunking this thing for a while, and I've only had one that legitimately had it, but I never even got him in the boat. But it's one of those things where it's a learning curve. You find stuff like that, and you just got to figure out what works and what attracts the fish, what scares the fish, and stuff like that. But I guarantee you, when that big rascal coming through the water, the bait knows it, because they get to jumping around on the top. Like yesterday, I was down at the dam. I was going to work the rocks at the dam, and there is bait all over that dam. I mean, it's just really thick as it can get. Oh, man, it's crazy. But they're all little bitty baits. I mean, they're not even as big as your finger. I mean, it's little bitty stuff. So that's probably one of the better things, or one of the things that I did that I shouldn't have done, was I wasn't matching the hatch. I was I was out there chunking that big bait instead of us dropping down to a smaller one. Now, I did chunk a square bill a little bit because it's that time of year where you can get along those rocks and stuff like that with a little small square bill. And, you can work them, and you'll catch quite a few fish. But a spinnerbait will work, too. You know, you get a spinnerbait, chunk it along those rocks or even around some docks and stuff like that. You can catch them on it. So it's just, with the bass, it's kind of a different process this time of year. You just got to figure out which fish are more aggressive, the deeper ones, the shallow ones, or the mid-range, or, you know, whatever. So it's, and then after that water turned over on the north end a couple of weeks ago, you know, apparently it's made it down to the south end, and that's where I was at yesterday. So it's, everything's just, it's going to be changing even as these cool fronts start moving.
All different species of fish, Richard?
Yes.
Is it mainly bass, crappie, or what?
No, the ones that are floating around are a lot of white bass. There's some catfish floating around. I didn't see many largemouth, but pretty much yellow bass. You know, it's those fish that kind of run around in those bait balls throughout the center of the water column. And it's, I didn't see any hybrids in there either, but the white bass and the yellow bass and the catfish are the primary ones.
What are those good for? Do people eat fish for those?
There's people that fish for them. I mean, they never get very big. They're more of a bait thief than anything. They're kind of, they're kind of like trigger fish out there on the rigs. You know, they steal your bait more than anything. And some people eat them, but they just don't get very big. You know, they're kind of like just a little bit bigger than a brim. But they're more nuisance fish than anything. Because,
gotcha.
Them dang things, whenever you go to take them off the hook, they're looking at you the whole time. You got to reach for them, they flare every fin out on their body trying to get you. I mean, it's the dangest thing to watch them, because you go to reach for them and they'll be perfectly fine just laying there. As soon as you get within a couple of inches, boy, they flare every fin out. And it's like, okay, you little rascal, you're going to try to stab me.
Right.
So, that's the thing, but. Yeah, like I say, some people eat them, and I've never eaten one myself, so I don't know. But it's just one of those goofy little fish that most people don't really pay much attention to. And a lot of people think they call them baby stripers. They're yellow bass. I mean, you can tell there's a yellow tint on their bellies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the fin configuration is different. The colors just are totally different and stuff like that. Now, there's no limit because it's not considered a game fish, but it's one of those things where you can go out there and catch all them you want, but I don't specifically target them.
No.
You know, that's one of the things. Whenever I'm hybrid fishing, I get a lot of them messing with my shad, because what you can do is you drop a shad down there and you can tell, because they won't really bite it hard. They'll just kind of bite it and start chewing on it. When you pull it up, all the skin's gone off of your shad. So they just pull all the hide off of them and kill them, and then that's it. So they'll just leave them alone after that. But it's, it's a totally different fish. But it's, that sometimes they're fun to catch, if you're catching a lot of them. You know, back in years ago, I used to take, and on January 1st, I'd always go out on the old railroad trestle crossing the lake, and I'd go out there and drop jigging spoons and catch fish. And there's a lot of times you could catch 1,000 of them things in just a morning, because they just, when you're jigging that spoon, you can catch everything. I mean, I've caught crappie, gar, bass, hybrids, yellow bass. You name it, I've caught just about everything dropping them spoons down there.
Yeah.
I always like dropping those spoons in the colder months anyway, because that's when the bait tends to bunch up real tight and get real concentrated on these ledges and drop-offs. And once that bait get concentrated on those ledges and drop-offs, you can just drop a spoon down there and jerk that thing up and down all day long, and you'll catch some pretty good fish. I mean, so far my biggest largemouth on a spoon has been 10.8, so that's almost 11 pounder. That's pretty good. So And then hybrids, you know, once you hook into a hybrid doing that, I mean, it's a blast because them rascals, they pull like a freight train anyway. And when you're jerking on that jigging spoon, usually I use a 1 ounce jigging spoon and drop it down there. And I oversize my hooks a lot of times. And, you know, there's little tweaks you do to it. Like you put a barrel swivel up ahead on the eye. You can buy some of them that already have that so they don't put the line twist in your line. And then every once in a while, they tend to want to keep wrapping around your hook. You can put you a little bail weight on the bottom hook, and that way it kind of keeps that away from your wrapping around your line. So it's all kinds of goofy little tricks you can do to a spoon that make them work either better or just make them work in general. You know, because some of these little spoons, like they used to have these lightning spoons. I don't know what they call them now, but they used to call them lightning spoons. And those things would wrap around your line so quick because when you're dropping it, you're jerking it up. Say this time of year when it's warmer, you want it coming higher off the bottom.
Yeah.
But as it gets colder, you want to jerk it up maybe 6 inches and let it fall back. And what you're trying to do is imitate a dying shad. So you got to let it fall on a free line. And, you know, 90% of the time when those fish hit it, they're going to hit it when it's falling because it jerks up there in the face. And then as it starts to fall, right, they'll thump it. And when they thump it, you'll see your line jump or something like that. And just be ready to hang on because them rascals are fixing to take off with it. And it's, you know, it's a blast doing that stuff. Just, you know, just because you learn the bottom contours a little bit better, you know, you kind of focus on those things a lot. And, you know, when I first started doing it, we were using flashers and paper graphs and stuff that. Yeah. So you just start to learn those bottom contours a whole lot better. Now you got the contour maps that kind of show you everything. So
they kind of
help you out a lot with that. You know, that's rather than having an old paper map in the boat and unfolding it and saying, okay, I'm here.
I used to mess up and leave it on and eat up all my paper. I used to get so disgusted with that.
I know.
Pull up, oh, man, look at all these fish, and forget about turning your machine off.
Yep. There ain't no doubt.
All right, Richard, I got a roll, buddy. Somebody wants to give you a call and come up to Conroe and do some fishing. Give them some info, my friend.
All right, Mick, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, buddy. Richard, have a good day. Talk to you Saturday.
Yes, sir.
Be safe.
Y'all have fun.
Later.
All right, bye.
All right, now let's hop down the coast to Matagorda and see what's going on with Captain Charlie P. this morning. Charlie Paradosky, good morning. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning to you. I'm all right. I'm laying low. I just looked at radar, and it looks like Matagorda's covered up with that weather
right now. It is. It's a lot of rain down the coast. We're clean up here right now, but
they're
calling for rain today up here again. I don't know whether that thing's going back in or I don't know. That front line.
Yeah.
All that weather.
We need it to go through. We've been lucky this month. We've had these north winds in the morning, you know, and just fishing's been great, and all that changed on Sunday. Sunday it started out southeast and went hard south and destroyed the water Monday and Tuesday. Tuesday southwest, you know, fighting storms. But
maybe we start getting some fronts, cool the water down, and then that kind of wind won't mess that bay up.
Yeah. I fished, we had a Guides Cup tournament Tuesday, and the water was destroyed in East Bay on Monday. And
oh, man.
I took a chance and went west. I figured I could still find those redfish and could not find them. You know, we've been having decent tides, and
you had to have them. That's why you didn't find them.
Yeah, no joke. Nobody did.
How many times have you seen that happen?
it was the worst Guides Cup tournament that I'd ever seen in my life with fish caught.
Really?
I mean, yeah, like 17 boats and let's see. We had like 8 pounds of fish and came in fifth place.
Wow.
That's how bad it was.
That's pretty dismal.
Yeah. Horrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrible. Then you you lay in bed the next day and you think of what you should have done, where you should have went, and you know you missed them somewhere, but
yeah, frog had wings. You know the old story. We always second guess ourselves, but I mean, you can't be everywhere at once.
Right. Anyway, that's just part of it. But I think if we can get this front off the coast, we're going to fish tomorrow, and hopefully we'll have some northerly wind, and things will be fine.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to go northwest this afternoon, and then looks like northeast tomorrow. It's going to swing, you know, that high pressure thing. You know how these fronts do, so.
Yeah, I thought this front was going to be stronger. I thought we'd get some of these shrimp out of that damn marsh. But, you know, the tides fell with that southwest wind on Tuesday real good. I mean, they were low. Mm-hmm. So, might pull something out.
Well, we're in our fall equinox now, so we're going to be experiencing bull tides. King tides, or however you want to call it. I call them bull tides.
Yeah. They've been pretty high for a week, but maybe more than that. But better than what it's been all year. It seemed to me like tides were lower all year long than normal.
Yeah, the Galveston forecast shows northeast for tomorrow, but the Houston forecast shows north, due north. Today and tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah. And northeast for about 4 or 5 days. Going to be cool in the mornings in Houston. 66, 65, 66.
Wow, that is cool. It'll be accepted, man. We need some kind of change.
Yeah. Well, we're all ready for it. I mean,
it's been a long, hot summer.
Hot of a summer, but it's just been long, and then we got all that calm stretch, and it just makes it hotter when it's that calm. So,
yeah. I mean, we've been hotter. Very lucky with these storms so far. So,
hey, whatever's going on, keep it coming, keep it going. We don't want any. Boy, if we can just get to October, that'll help.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be a great fall. I think our bays are full of fish, and they're just going to come out of nowhere, be everywhere.
Well, you just got to have conditions.
Yeah.
Like you say, fight the elements. The elements can kill you. They can ruin fishing.
Yeah. It's about like baseball. If you can hit, you can win. If you can't hit, you ain't going to win nothing.
It's the damnedest Astro team I ever seen. A bunch of no-hittingest dogs in the world. And then they can come back one game and score 11, 12, 14 runs. I mean, I just don't get it.
I don't know. They're lacking something somewhere. Some kind of motivation or something somewhere.
Proper zing right now. It's pretty low.
Yeah.
But I knew going and playing the A's, that was going to be the kiss of death. They were going to finish us off. They're playing spoiler. That team's better than their record is, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
They've been one of the hottest teams since the All-Star break. Those young guys are awesome. Well, I got two rookies, and both of them will, you know, be 1 and 2 on the MLB Rookie of the Year.
There's a big crop of good ball players right now, young ball players.
There he is.
Every team's got them.
Yeah. Well, we actually played better when we had mostly all minor leaguers playing for us there for a while. We were doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, it's a shame, but they can't win them all.
No, we don't have to worry about
it. We were due for a setback.
We've been a dynasty, man. I mean, think about it. We're just spoiled rotten.
Yeah.
Go back in time and look at some of the teams we hung with forever. I mean, we were still pulling for them and watching them every night, but they were just terrible.
That's right. It'll be some good playoff games anyway, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be a good series. If Seattle makes it, they deserve it.
Yeah, Seattle's a good ball club. I wouldn't mind seeing them and the Phillies in the World Series. It'd be a pretty good pretty good matchup. Bombs away, man. Home run hitters.
Anybody but the Yankees and the Dodgers. I don't want to see that.
No, nobody does. But the Yankees, they tied the Blue Jays. They're both tied for first now in their division.
I know.
The Yankees have been on a run, too.
Well, all right, we're going to find out shortly.
Well, hey, man, if somebody wants to call you about coming over and fishing, give them a number, man.
713-725-2401.
All right. You take care, Charlie. See you, man.
All right, Mickey.
All right. All right, it's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.